What's up and welcome back to the Bad Podcast, man. We got another awesome show. We can't wait to get to it. My man Brad is in the building. Brad, man, what we got to look forward to in this show, man?
Today we're going to talk about fasting, and I want you to think about starving your weaknesses to find your strengths.
Yeah, man. Starve your weaknesses to find your strength. So if you got a hamburger in your hand, put it down.
Put it down. Put it down.
Push away. We're going to talk about that today, man. So buckle up. Let's get ready for the Bad Podcast, baby. Yo, I'm laughing because I just realized I'm wearing the exact same thing I was wearing in the little promo right there, man.
You haven't taken that shirt off, have you? That's your lucky shirt.
It's my lucky shirt, man. My lucky shirt, man. What's up, Brad, man? Always good to get behind the microphone with you, man. How you feeling today, brother?
I'm feeling good, man. I just come off a 60-hour fast, and I'm feeling good. We're
going to talk about that, man, because, you know, fasting is something that is a deal, man. It's a real deal. You know, I've done it religious purposes, you know, and there's an aspect of it that we do it with E2M. And we're going to jump into that, man. But before we jump into that, man, I want to first thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Thank you guys for the love, comments, all of that, man. We super, super appreciate it. And we want you to continue to share this podcast, man. Let people know about the Bad Podcast, man. I just want to just take a quick moment to shout out to the people, man. The people are so amazing, especially those E2M folks, man. Those are some amazing people. Wouldn't you agree, Brad?
One of the best and most supportive communities maybe on the planet. And it might be. Dwayne saying, man, thank you, because I see our numbers going up in views, and that's, you know, that's what we're striving to do. We're trying to put out free content, and the more views that we get, the better the ratings are, and just the more content we can deliver for free.
That's right, man.
Well, thanks,
that's
everybody.
Right. Yeah, big shout out to y'all, man. So let's jump into this, man. You have completed 60-day fast, man. Like
60
I said,
hours.
Oh, my bad.
Easy on that days, baby.
Well, I'm about to put you on Jesus level, boy. That 40 days. 40 days. My bad. 60 hours. Let's make sure we got that right, man. Yeah. Let's jump in, B. Let's talk about it. Well, I mean, this is me. This ain't even in the notes, man. What inspired you to just want to do this? Because, I'll be honest. I've been watching you, man. You got me nervous. Like, you're doing a lot of crazy stuff lately. Like, you're taping your mouth to run 5K, and I'm trying to hold my mouth closed while I'm running a mile and about to pass out. So, what's going on, Brad? Talk to us, man.
You know, sometimes, so I don't know if everybody knows this, but I have been off for a week with paternity leave. You know, I've been home with my wife and making sure she's okay. I've been home with my son, Rush, and making sure Beckett gets to daycare all right. So I've actually been home, and a lot of times when we sort of let ourselves slip, if we slip once, we continue to slip, and we almost feel like we're spiraling out of control. And what these intense or extreme challenges that I've been doing lately, fasting, taping my mouth shut, ice cold plunges in the lake, these kind of things, these extremes, I don't encourage people to jump in on these extremes unless you've practiced these things. For me, I've done cold showers for over a year. For me, I've practiced fasting through E2M. Now, we don't do extreme fasting. We do an 16-8. So we do a 16-hour fasting window with an 8-hour eating window. So I have experience with that. As far as the taped mouth, you know, nasal breathing is very important. I'm not encouraging people that are beginners or novice runners, a rookie runner, to go out and say, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna duct tape my mouth." Don't do that, please, because you know it takes a high level of a runner. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, because I'm still, you know, in those beginning stages. And I was a very slow runner when I taped my mouth shut. You know, I did the 5K, but it was a slow process. Sure. But a lot of times, like I was saying, that, you know, I'm on paternity leave, so I was sort of losing my way. I was sort of losing that discipline. I felt it slipping away. All right. And I needed to have something to remind myself that I am in control. I am in complete control of my life. And that's sort of why I did the 60-hour fast. Everybody's been asking me, why'd you do it? Was it for world peace? Was it for? No, it was not for anything other than to regain my discipline and take control of my life. That's essentially what it was all about. And there's, you know, and Dwayne, there's, another reason I did it is because, you know, I'd walk through the house and I'd grab an extra handful of almonds. I'd grab an extra couple bananas. I'd grab a, you know, this or that, or this or that, because it's at our fingertips. It's at our convenience. And a lot of times when things are convenient for you to just reach and grab, you lose that self-control. What happened to me is I started to feel like I was, you know, I was out of control, but I was also feeling like I needed a gut recheck. I needed that gut recheck. And what happens is when you fast, you allow your microbes to restore themselves in their gut. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. This is just me doing some research and understanding the in-depth of fasting. So what happens is when you consume an abundance of food, what happens is your gut lining weakens from the poor diet that you have, or from stress that you have, and that leads to leaky gut. Okay. And the best way to improve or strengthen that leaky gut is to go long periods of fasting, because what happens is these microbes have a chance to repair that lining. So a little bit of health, you know, and a little bit of discipline, all kind of combined to lead to fast.
I love it, man. I love it. I mean, you know, the thing about working from home is, man, that pantry, it calls you every time
it's
you
right
walk
there,
back.
Man.
It calls you every time, you know, like, bro, like it's real, man. So, yeah. I mean, it's kind of convicting, and I can understand that, because, you know, used to be in the school setting and being home on maternity and, you know, like you said, an extra handful of almonds or banana, whatever, or one of those peanut butter things that the lady gave us. I still got a couple of those left. Like,
yes, sir.
You know, like it's so easy to do that, man. So, all right, so let's get into it, man, because this obviously this was an amazing experience. You talk about, you know, how you're feeling. So let's kind of get into some points that you outlined earlier.
Yeah, so a few of the things that I noticed immediate benefits with were I was able to sit down. So I'm writing my book, Prep, Rep, Repeat, Take Your Life from Average to Iron. And I was able to sit down and I had so much mental clarity. The mental clarity hit probably about 36 hours in, and I sat down, man, and just everything was clicking for me. Like, just my it felt like my mind was firing on all cylinders. So I sat down and I was able to concentrate on my book, and I wrote several chapters. I'm currently reading David Goggins' book. I can't even
never give up or something
never give up. So I was able to sit down. Speaking of that mental clarity, I broke my fast this morning at 10 a.m. So clarity, boom, gone. So back to normal life here, Dwayne. never give up. Thank you for that. So I'm reading that, and I was able to sit down and, man, just sink into that book. And, you know, I love David Goggins because what he has done with his professional life, with his personal life, and how he's kind of redefined adversity and how you can embrace adversity. And I didn't know my man David was from Buffalo. He's almost a hometown boy for me. He was born and grew up a little while in Buffalo. Then he moved out Midwest, but yeah, he was from Buffalo. And so I was able to dive into that book and just you know, really connect on a different level. Every day I do push-ups, and every single 8-week challenge that we do for E2M, I start with 40 push-ups, and I increase one push-up every day, and I'm up to, I don't remember, 50-ish. And every day I remind myself to do these push-ups, and I get to about 85 to 90% of the way done, and I feel completely drained. Yesterday as Sunday, and the following, or the previous day, Saturday, I hit 40, wasn't tired. I hit 45, wasn't tired. We hit 50, no fatigue. Hit 55, kept going. Hit 60, hit 65. I was up at 70 having no issues. So I don't know. I mean, I know there's some kind of association there. There's some kind of link. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, I had so much more strength than I ever thought I was capable of tapping into ever again. Wow. So that I did a 5K on the tread, sub 23 minutes, and I was just cruising. I finished up with like 10 or 15 sprints to get me to my 5K time. Under 23 minutes, wasn't tired even one bit, and that was at over 48 hours of fasting. And everybody thinks that they know everything, right? So
of course.
Everybody wants to throw their 2 cents in. Brad, you must have had a headache. Brad, you must have been weak. You must have been dizzy. You must have felt faint. No, I felt really good. And I think a lot of times it's one of those mental things where we psych ourselves out. And as soon as I start doing one of these extreme things, jumping in ice cold water, taping my mouth shut, fasting for a long period of time, the first thing that we tell ourselves is, oh, be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Safe doesn't take us anywhere, Dwayne.
Mm-hmm.
Safe doesn't take us anywhere. We have to start taking more risks, baby.
Right.
That's
right.
Well, that's how you get a full experience out of life, is taking risks. And you know, this was a calculated risk, but this was a risk that I was willing to take. And you know what? It paid off for me. I received a lot of benefits from this, and I'll definitely do it again. I want to start implementing this to my life. Maybe once a month. I want to do a 48-hour fast once a month. I felt phenomenal, Dwayne, and I can't wait to do it again already.
Wow. So, you know, the funny thing is the naysayers or people asking about the headache and dizziness, which that probably happens in like the earlier hours.
Sure.
You know, and when that happens, a lot of people get scared and back out, you know, and they don't push forward. Because like I said, I've done it before in the past, and there is that point where you like, man, is this the right thing to do?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And you know, and then you start Googling and you become a Google expert, you know, and all that. So
yeah.
So
Dr. Google.
Exactly, man. Exactly. And then, you know, but like you mentioned, there's a point where you push past all of that and you know, and you experience the clarity and the strength thing is new to me. Like, you know,
back
when I was fasting, I wasn't even into fitness like that. So like, you know, it was different. So that hearing that strength thing really piqued my attention. What were you going to say?
Yeah. What I was going to say is, you know, you have done the fasting for the 16 hours and eight for the 8 hour window. When you first started D2M, you practiced fasting. And like you were saying, exactly what you were saying, you know, you start pushing into that 16 hour window for the first time ever. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the first time you've ever tried fasting. Actually, I'm going to pump the brakes for a second here. Okay. Everybody thinks they need to eat breakfast.
Right.
Like, break the word down. Break fast.
Yeah.
Break fast. You break your fast. Your fast can break at any time. Your breakfast doesn't have to be at 8 in the morning. It doesn't have to be at 7 in the morning. It doesn't have to be at 9 in the morning. Hey, hit it up, baby. All right, now I'm on one. Now I'm on one, and I'm starting to get a little amped up because we especially the age and the time that you and I grew up, we were told certain things. We need to have 3 meals a day. We need to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It has to consist of this, that, and that. We need milk. We need milk for calcium.
Strong bones.
Strong. You need. Well, isn't that what we've always been told, Dwayne? We've always been told. Hey, Bradley, do you want strong bones? You have to drink milk. Okay, I'll drink milk. And what are the two options that we have at school? Milk and chocolate milk.
That's it.
Milk and chocolate milk. There's no water. Milk, there's no juice. Yeah. And so, like, you know, so I'm gonna get back to what I was saying, but
I like this rabbit hole. Keep going.
Okay. So, but you practice that 16 hour window. Okay.
Right.
And that's what we recommend. It's not a requirement for E2M, but that's a recommendation. You know, we don't require anything. These are adults that we are working with. So everything is a recommendation. Okay. And once you hit that 12th hour of fasting, 13th hour of fasting, fifth, you know, whatever it is, just like you were saying, the first reaction is to get frightened. Because I'm starting to feel a little lightheaded. I'm starting to feel a little weak. It's going to shock your body because you've never done it. You've never done it before. But what happens when you get to that limit and then press a little bit further? That's where the grand accolades of life wait for you. That's where you can find the grand rewards. But you have to be willing to shock your body, find that limit, and press on a little bit further.
Yeah, man. No, that's so legit. And it's like that for a lot of stuff, not just fasting, man, just anything we're doing, you know, there's a level of uncomfort somewhere. And then, you know, you're willing to push past that to reap the reward, man. So let's jump in a little bit deeper, man. You know, you have some really good points that you sent me. So let's kind of talk about a couple of those before we slide up out of here and get ready to transition.
I got to bring up my notes now.
Oh, okay. We've been off the dome the whole show.
This has been a freestyle because this is something I'm very passionate about, you know? So this has been a freestyle, but, you know, so one of the notes in the thing that I sent you here was, you know, what happens a lot of times when we have an abundance of something, an abundance of food, an abundance of money, an abundance of ego, anything that has an abundance of turns into poison, right? Because you know, if you get consumed by food, if you get consumed by ego, if you get consumed by money, whatever it may be that you have an abundance of, what happens is it takes your life and it turns it, it takes control of your life and you lose that control. So what you need to do is you need to limit yourself. I'm not saying that, you know, money's bad. I'm not saying that food's bad. I'm not saying that ego is bad, because these things are all good qualities to have, but you have to make sure that you are in control and never lose that control. So if you start to lose control, if you start to spiral out of control a little bit, you start to lose that discipline in life.
Right.
You need to do something to reboot your life, reboot your discipline, find that fortitude and that courage to sort of get you back on track.
Yeah, man. I love that. It's almost like recalibrating, you know.
Once you
recognize it, man, you need to do something to recalibrate and just realign and get things, you know. And especially, you know, we're talking about food, we're talking about fasting. That is like an excellent way to kind of reset your body. You know, reset your mentality, and teach your stomach. Because, you know, I remember one of the things that Dr. Reese was talking about one time was, you know, your stomach growling, it doesn't mean you're hungry. It just, your stomach is selfish. It wants attention. That's all it is, man. You know, sometimes you're thirsty, you know, and that's what, you know, a growl don't necessarily mean hunger, man. So,
and it's not sometimes, Dwayne, it's more times than not. You're just thirsty.
That's true.
And just pound some water.
That's true, man. No, that's legit. But we've been taught, you know, and you know, I think about Winnie the Pooh, man. He used to, his stomach used to rumble like, oh, trying to get some honey, man.
Right.
You know, so, and just like, you know, Winnie, he was led by his stomach, you know, he didn't care the bees or whatever. Like, I know this is a whole nother thing, but
I love it.
He would let his stomach guide him, you know, and sometimes it got him into trouble, man. So,
yeah. Well, I'm all about the Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Eeyore and all that. Not Eeyore, because Eeyore is a man. He's a drainer. But hey, we won't go into that a whole lot. But you know,
that'll be another episode.
Next episode. You know, one of the things that was in my bullets that I completely forgot about was being my own accountability partner. Okay, and when you hold yourself accountable, you know, it's important to have people around you that support you and have your back and are there to pick you up, but you can hide from those people. You can hide from your spouse. You can hide from your best friend. You can hide from your coworkers. You can hide from your boss, but you can never hide from yourself.
Get so you are your
hey man, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes here, and I'm not trying to get it too aggressive, but
so true.
You have to hold yourself accountable and you have to hold yourself to the highest standard, because you are the only person that you can't hide from. A lot of us, we're lying to ourselves. We know the job that has to be done. You know the extremes that have to be taken care of. And you are afraid of facing yourself. You're afraid of looking yourself in the mirror. You're afraid of holding yourself accountable because you're afraid of the truth.
Wow. Ouch.
Ooh, boom.
Hey, baby. One of my favorite guys, if you can't say amen, say ouch.
Ouch. I like that. If you can't say amen, say ouch. I like
that
a lot.
Right, man. Yeah, no, that's so good, B, because I mean, just real and transparent, man. Like, I know how to play the part. I know how to look the part. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I went through my season and nobody knew. Like, you know, I was talking to Mandy when we were, you know, the dinner before we were the last meetup. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm not where you think I am. Like, there was a season where, you know, I was off. I just know how to look the part and play the part, man. But like you say, you can't, you can't fool yourself. You know, can't, you gotta be your own personal accountability partner, man. You know, I can take the selfies, you know, I can say five rounds and only did three, you know, like I'm sweating, you know, I can get the picture and get the video of me pumping, but you know, I only did one set and then I went on to, you know, so it's so easy to do that, man. But when you are, when you face yourself and you say, hey, am I doing the best that I can do? Am I putting in the best effort that I can, man? That is huge, man. That's a game. That's going to be a game changer for a lot of people that hear that, man, because you know, old school, we call it fronting back in the day. Like when you
front, you fronting.
Yeah, you fronting, man. You know, my cousin gonna kill me for that one because like, boy, your age. But you know, when you putting on that facade, man, like you got it together, and that's not the case, man. It's gonna come back to bite you, you know, and it's gonna show through. But before you even get to that point, man, you should recalibrate. We talk about take hold, get it under control. And go from there, man. So what else you got?
Man, it comes down to taking control of your whole life. You know, it's easy to let things slip away. It's easy to let the good qualities in life slip away. And we see it happen all the time in the E2M world. You know, somebody does a solid 8 weeks and I feel the best I've felt since I was 18. This is the fastest I've ever run since I was 20. This is the best I've looked since I was 25. And then they go right back to their old lifestyle because they're not holding themselves accountable. We're all guilty of slipping up. You know, I don't care if you're Michael Jordan. I don't care if you're Kobe Bryant, you're LeBron James. I don't care if you're Tom Brady or Serena Williams. Mm-hmm. Everybody is guilty of slipping up. But what those people do that thrive in their arena of life is they are able to bring it back and realize and understand that I'm in control, period. And there's no wiggle room. There's no compromise. There's no deviation. I'm in control, period. And don't allow yourself to slip. Don't allow yourself to spiral. It's okay to take a step back as long as you're ready to get going and take control and keep moving forward.
Yes, sir. I love it, man. I love it. I think that's a good way to end it. Good I'm draft, not going to throw anything on that. But we're going to get into our last segment that we know you waited for. You know, the meat part is good, but we always have this last segment that we want to bring to you this week.
Do you know?
So this Do You Know comes on me again. We're going back and forth. And so mine, it isn't as exciting as the Mount Olive Pickle thing. I hate to disappoint you. But so do you know that I am from a town in North Carolina called Turkey, North Carolina. That is an actual place. It is a huge farmland. It has a caution light. It doesn't have a stoplight. It used to have a post office, don't have one anymore. And there's a big sign that says, "Welcome to Turkey." And my running joke is on the other side of that sign, it says, "Thanks for coming." Cause it's that small.
Oh man, I love that, dude.
Yeah, man. So I rep Turkey everywhere I go. And people are like, Turkey, like the country is like, nope, Turkey, North Carolina, man. So
I love that. I love it.
Do you know?
Big city living.
That's right, man. That's right, man. No, that's big shout out to the Turkey folks, man. If you from Turkey and if you heard from Turkey, put it in the comments, man. Put it in the comments down here. Like, I know where Turkey, North Carolina is, or I drove through it one time. I sneezed and I was in and out of it. Didn't even see it. But nevertheless, man, we appreciate you guys, man. Yeah. This has been fun. Great episode, Brad, man. And hey, bro, I love it, man.
Good stuff today, baby.
Yeah, I love the way the conversation went, man. And you know, I guess I'm gonna issue a warning. Do not attempt anything Brad is talking about tonight without talking to your physician or somebody.
Don't just
go out here and start taping your mouth, jumping in cold water and fasting all at the same time. Don't do that.
Guys, you know, and to piggyback off of that, seriously, you know, I'm somewhere in my career and in my fitness where I have practiced these things. These aren't something that I just on a whim jumped into. So make sure that you do talk to a physician. Make sure that you are at a point in your fitness or in your life where you can withstand some kind of extreme displeasure like this. But I'm going to end with this, Dwayne. Never trust your fear, because your fear will never understand your strength.
I love it. Till next time, you guys. We out of here.
Peace. See you guys.